Morning, I've used a little different method, and I'm going to continue with it. And for anyone that's listening to this tape, they may. I'm going to try to remember that it's tape because I wrote a lot of things on the board as I have done this morning. So, what I would like you to keep in your mind as I talk is the spiritual discipline of fasting. Most of us, I think, just totally have an erroneous idea of what fasting is. I've not studied it enough to know why it has happened this way. Or maybe it's just that I've misunderstood fasting, but as I've watched people fast and I've heard in the church about fasting, I don't remember hearing too many people that I think had the understanding about what fasting is as it's talked about in Scripture. And there's not many places where there's anything said that reveals to you what it is. It's just the words used. So what I'm going to really be talking about is fasting. And what I want us to think of as I talk of fasting is I have talked to us all week about how our minds were formed, how they got to be the way they are, and the mind of Christ, which was a mind of agape, and what will it take for us to get there? And, you know, I talked about things like you've got to act yourself into thinking right. Because it's obvious the way we got to thinking the way we think now is by acting. We didn't come into this world, born into this world, a little brain that sit over in the corner and says, now, do I do it this way, this way, this way, or this way? We didn't. We came into this world and we copied the people around us and we do it their way. I think that you have to really be blind not to see that to some degree. That's the reason we think the way we do. So it seems to be obvious that if I was going to learn to think the way another person thinks, I would have to act the way they act. Can you imagine trying to figure out how I'm thinking? But I'll tell you what you could do. You could walk behind me and do what I do, and you would more know how I think, because your thinking would begin to work like mine. You know that? It's the reason you think the way you do. I think fasting is intimately tied with that. For instance, the word fast in Greek means to get someplace rapidly. It doesn't mean to give anything up. It means to get someplace rapidly. Fast, exactly what the word means. The literal meaning of the word, to get someplace rapidly. Kind of this idea would be involved there. Instead of repenting from something, we repent to something. You don't change your mind from your old ways. You change your mind to doing another way. You understand? Let me show you how stupid it is to work this other way, and we have all of our life. But remember, it's just out of stupidity. Father, forgive them, they're ignorant. You know, it's not out of maliciousness. Can you imagine if you wanted to get a master's degree, you'd say, well, then, if I want a master's degree, I need to stop socializing. Do you think if you stop socializing, it'll get you a master's degree? Huh? But if you started working for the master's degree, what would happen to your social life? It'll fall apart. It'll fall away, won't it? Isn't that interesting? Now, this is what I want you to start looking at. For instance, we have talked about apathy. Which is produced by fear. And this here is most of our motivator. And we want to go from being motivated by fear to being motivated by love, don't we? Okay, we want to get from here to here. Now, I'm going to share with you some things that I noticed about me as I tried to learn this. Now, I didn't understand it like this, folks. I just struck out. And I don't know why I stopped trying to give up things, and I just started trying to do things. I don't know, just the grace of God. I couldn't say anything else. It wasn't anything that I understood in my head. I know this is the way I did it, though. Now, this apathy, this fear, this all comes from self-centeredness. I allow myself the pleasure of pleasing myself. Right? Now, let me tell you something I discovered. I discovered when I took a step towards that, for instance, I'm going to tell you some of the things I began to do. I began to feed hungry people, clothe people. I began to look at people that were suffering and try to relieve their suffering. But an interesting thing that I discovered was that made me feel good. It wasn't something that I thought would make me feel good when I did it, but when I did it, and I'd go home at night and sit down, I felt real good about me. So I want you to understand that I'm going to call this good selfishness. This is just trying to be honest with ourselves. And I think I think in understanding this, I discovered something. For instance, if I could tell every husband in here, if you want to really develop spirituality, you want to develop this kind of love, go home and no longer live for yourself, but live for your wife. And you could tell me something like this, that, yeah, David, I went home and she got up to wash the dinner dishes and I went in and helped her. And you know, when her and I went and sat down, I felt so good about that. Any of you ever did it? And that's the way you feel good about it too, don't you? You might not have wanted to do it, but you did. When it was all over, you really felt good about you.
Yeah,
see? This kind of life right here destroys self-esteem. This kind of life will build self-esteem. And this is good, folks. Okay? But it is still not this. Let me show you what I'm talking about. You remember when yesterday when we read Matthew 25:31, the sheep, and it says, "When I was hungry, you fed me; naked, you clothed me." What was their response? When? Say that loud. When? They didn't know they did it. Isn't that something? So over here, I'd like to call this un-self-consciousness. Now, this is unconsciousness over here, folks, period. Just unconscious. But I want you to think of that. I'm going to show you a way that I very easily understand that. Now, you know, in understanding and talk about it and making it operational in your life are two different things. But working at this will make it understandable to you. When somebody was bad to you, did you stop and say, Well, now, they've been bad to me. I wonder if I'll be bad to them or good to them or wonder what I'll do. Did you think like that, or did you just get even with them?
Yes.
Just got even with them, didn't you?
Yes.
If somebody pulled out in front of you in a car and you jammed on your brakes, you started blowing your horn and hollering, "You don't." Did you go through some kind of conscious effort and say, "Now, I wonder if I ought to holler and raise hell at them, or should I just keep?" Did you do that, or it was just a... What do you call that, automatic? What else you call it?
Reaction.
A habit. You've done it so often, it's totally unconscious, you just do it. Do you think you could do this so much, it'd be a habit? When, Lord, did we do it? When? That's an awesome thought. When? Now, here's some encouragement I want to give you. I'm going to tell everybody in here, you do these things. See, I know I'm spending a lot of time over there on that side, but I've watched people, and I see them do these things when they're just they don't know they're doing them. I mean it. This does happen over on this side. And I'm going to tell you, that's where all the value lies. Now, if you become conscious of what I'm talking about, you can begin to more and more move your whole life over to this side. So I don't want you, when you get over here and you're getting good feelings from doing it, I don't want you to feel guilty. Recognize what you're doing and keep doing it. And keep doing it, and keep doing it, and keep doing it, and keep doing it. And if you're die conscious of it, it's all right. But I'll tell you what'll happen. I think if you spent 40 years doing it like you spent 40 years sinning, it'll be a habit. It'll sink into your subconscious, and it'll be just a reaction. Can you believe that your reaction to somebody could just be to do good? It could be. Now, we've got a lot of things that are being taught to us that keep us from living this way. For instance, we glorify competition. And I'm telling you, friends, I really believe it's sick. You got to wake up, though. We got to wake up and see this stuff. We got to see what we're doing here if we want to move over to here. Okay, let me give you try to help you see that a little better. I think you see it, but I want you to see it a little better. You know, there's a lot of words you could put under here. You could put sin, you could put Satan, you can put me. And over here you put good, God. See, and you got to move there some way, don't you? Don't we have a free will? The first thing you got to do is wake up and see there's another way. And then you start striving for the other way. You don't start striving to give this up. You start striving to do this. This will disappear. It's just like you're working on that master's degree, folks. Your social life will go to hell in a handbasket. Won't it? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about don't renounce things. Go for the goal. You know, don't renounce. There's something about renouncing things that sticks in your head, doesn't it? I'm never going to do that again. But thinking about this habit now, I'm going to show you. There's a lot of people in here will understand this. How many people in here give up smoking? Okay. Now you watch how you give up smoking. First day it was hell. Second day it was hell. Third day it was hell. Hell. Hell, hell, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 10 weeks, don't even know you're doing it, do you? 10 years, you don't even know you quit, do you? I mean, you walk in a room where there's cigarette smoke and you go, "Ugh!" Now, the problem there is...
Addiction.
We're all addicted. The problem there is... You give up cigarettes and you don't love, what is it? Nothing. That's why I say it's not a matter of giving things up. Going for something. I want to love as God loves. Not giving something up. Now, I want to ask you something. If you believe that you are really a unique, one-of-a-kind masterpiece of God, would you do anything that would destroy this body?
No.
If you really believed it. We'll say it with our mouth, won't we? And keep saying it. You know, one day you'll believe it. If you believed it, though, if you believed that this was a unique, masterful creation of God, would you put something in it that would kill it? Or would you kill somebody else's? See, there's a lot of difference in giving up something and striving to do this. I know people that look like they don't do nothing wrong. They don't smoke, and they don't chew, and they don't go with the girls that do. They don't love either. We want to go from here to here, and this is what fasting is all about. Now, most of us, when we say fasting, what's the first thing we think of?
Right.
We've got to give up food. Okay, first let me tell you, if you don't eat too much, you don't need to give up food. It's a dumb fast to go on, folks, if you don't eat too much. Let me tell you some things about fasting. Now remember, we're talking about a spiritual discipline. And remember, discipline is not law and order. Discipline spiritually is seeing something as true and paying the price to get there. That's what discipline is. You see something as true and you pay whatever price it is to get there. You know, if you have to demolish your mind to get there, you're willing to demolish the mind. Now, folks, this will be painful. There'll be suffering in your life. It will. I'll tell you what, any husband in here that makes this kind of commitment right now, they say, right, every time my wife gets up to do dishes, I'm going to help her. And that's never been your habits. Folks, you'll be good at it for about 4 nights. And the 5th night, you'll find yourself sitting in front of the TV, which was your old habit, while the dishes are clanking in the kitchen. Right? And all of a sudden, it'll strike you. Oh, I forgot to help her tonight, and you'll get real guilty, won't you? No, I'm a no good Jerry. Now, don't do that, you know. If you've got the guts, pull yourself up and say, oh, honey, I'm slipping back into my old habits, and walk in and help her. Now, you girls, how about doing some of this stuff with the guys? You got a husband, you've been bitching about him going fishing. Why don't you go fishing with him?
I'd love to.
Honey, I want to go fishing with you. He might want you to, too.
You don't fish.
Huh?
You don't fish.
Oh, he don't. God, there we go. Oh, we're something, aren't we, Donna? She's wanting her husband to go fishing. He don't fish. Love to go fishing with that sucker. What's he do? It just galls you. You'd say, we could be fishing instead of that.
What does he do?
Watching TV?
I play golf.
Golfing. Go play golf with him.
They laughed at me.
They laughed at you, huh? Well, keep going. Let him laugh. Laugh's good for you.
You're fast to remember.
Discipline is not something negative. Here? How many of you believe that Somebody could rob you of something and you could look at it positively. That's exactly the way I look at it. I didn't say it made me feel good. But I begin to look at everything that's going on in this world, and when it bumps into me and it feels bad, I look at it like God is teaching me. That's what the word discipline means. God's teaching you. Can you be patient? Can you let it go? Most of us, though, what do we say? Look what the devil's doing. We got to go to praying and stop the devil from doing all this. Satan's at it again. Satan's got me. Oh, give me a break. We act like that was total useless. You know that Jesus has full authority both on heaven and earth? Well, then who's running the show? We don't really like that. You ought to hear the way this person prays. I started looking at me when the way I prayed here. Oh, Lord, save our soldiers. What's the other side of that coin? Kill theirs. That's this guy, see? Oh, God, save our soldiers. It means kill theirs. How about this? Any of you ever been riding home and you hear a siren? Oh, fire engine. You say, oh, God, don't let my house burn down. Let Gary's burn down. That's the other side of the coin. That's this guy praying. Gimme, 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 gimme. Oh, God, keep my wife out of this stuff. Oh, God, help that woman to stop spending money like crazy. You hear him? You know what, as he moves across here, how his prayer begins to get? Oh, God, help me to do your will. Oh, God, help me to do your will. It gets totally away from God change my kids, God change my wife, God change the pope, God change the priest, God change the pastor. You know, this is this guy running the world. Self-centeredness. Totally begins to change. And we've all prayed like that, haven't we? Boy, I'll never forget when that struck me. I was riding home one day and I said, oh, God, don't let my house burn down. I didn't have any insurance on it. Couldn't afford it. And something in me said, well, how about your neighbor? I said, oh. I said, oh, God, don't let any houses burn. He said, well, that's a little better, David. And then my prayer, I got way, every once in a while I'd catch myself over on this side, and my prayer would be like this. Lord, if my house burns down, help me to accept it. How many of you ever heard the story about the guy that he was constantly asking God for something? Some of us may resemble this statement, you know. God, give me, give me, give me, give me. I mean, give me, give. Every time we opened our mouth and God was in it, it was, I want something. And so God just got sick and tired of listening to this guy. So he said to him one day, listen, Gary, I'm going to give you any three things you ask for, and then I'm never giving you nothing else. So Gary thought about that. Now, I happen to know Gary real well, and I know his wife, so I'm going to pick on Gary and Karen. Gary says, he gets to thinking, he says, you know what? And this is not true of Gary, but I'm still going to use it. He says, hey, nobody calls me more trouble than Karen. I mean, man, it's honey do this, honey do that, honey, and I'm just sick and tired of it. Lord, would you take her on home? And Karen died. And old Karen gathered around with old David Stewart and Miles Hartley and some of his buddies and Jim Bailey and getting ready to prepare for the funeral. And we started reminding him about what a wonderful person she was, and it was because of her that we met him and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden he's saying, oh, my God, best thing ever happened to me was Karen. What have I done? He says, oh, God, would you bring her back? She comes back. Gary's sitting there and he's used two of his prayers up and he's right where he started. This is how stupid we are, isn't it, folks? I mean, here he said, he said, oh my God, I've used two of my wishes and I'm right where I was. What do I ask for? So he thanks and he comes to David and he says, David, what would you ask for? I said, won't you ask him to be rich? And then Donna says, but what if you were rich and you were sick all the time? He says, yeah, man, I won't be sick. Why don't you ask for health? He says, yeah, but what if you were had good health, but you're sleeping in ditches all the time? Well, yeah, I don't want that, you know. I mean, this guy, matter of fact, years goes by. He don't know what to ask for. Years and years. And finally, in desperation, one morning he rolls out of bed and he says, oh, God, would you please tell me what to pray for? He says, Gary, won't you ask to be content with whatever happens? Folks, if you learn to be content with whatever happens, you'll live ever after happily. You'll be happy every moment of your life. And I'm going to tell you that Jesus came and told us how to reach that very state while we walk on this earth. And you can be happy while you're lonely. You understand? You can be happy while you're suffering. I'm talking about joy, peace. See, that's what I'm talking about. But most of us, see, we don't want to learn how to be content. Gimme, 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 gimme. Okay? Let me go a little bit further here with fasting. Now, I don't want anybody in here to think that fasting is anti-body. It's against the body. Don't do that. If fasting does the correct thing. It will help you to experience God in the body. You understand? God wants to make us whole, body, soul, and spirit. Okay? Don't look at your body as though it's bad. It is not. This body's good. The only thing that's wrong with you is you got stinking thinking. Problems going on between her ears. This is a good body, folks. It's going to die. Yeah, that's all right. It's going to die and the worms are going to eat it, but that's okay. See? It's not a bad body. It's not the body causing you your problem. Can you all admit that? It is not the body causing the problem. It's the way you think. Your little finger never got up one morning and said, think I'll do this. No, it's just sitting there on your hand and whatever your old brain says do it, does it. Doesn't it? Some people get real mad at their bodies. When Paul was talking about the flesh, he was not talking about this. He was talking about this. Flesh, mind. Mind that was conformed to the world. You understand? Okay. So don't get mad at your body. Now, there's two things I'd like you to realize from fasting. I would like you first to realize that fasting can teach you self-control. For instance, you would never want to fast and completely stop eating, would you?
No.
Eating is good, isn't it? Okay. So, when you're in a food fast, what are you trying to do? Learn to be conscious of what you're eating and not eat more than it takes to make your body run. That's what love does. Okay? If you really understood the idea of covetousness in the Bible, it is not looking at what somebody else has and wanting it. It is using more than your part of this world's goods is covetousness. Think of that. To use more than your part. You're one of the very idea that you'll get out of Christian spirituality is that when you eat more than your share of food, you're eating someone else's. Our bishops told us that in the Vatican II documents in the Church in the Modern World. They said this: if you have more than enough of these world's goods, and you don't sell them and feed hungry people, then you are starving them.